Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. It's your weekly dose of serious news talk, along with talk about some of the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world. You know, the kind of news that makes you go, what, what? But in good news, today, the 26th day of January in 2023, is Australia Day, the annual celebration of being Australian. Can we say that? Can we do that anymore? You know, without getting cancelled? Can we even talk about Australia Day? Who knows? You know, I'm on radio, as you know, you're listening to the radio right now, whether it be live or through the on-demand or podcasting or whatever. I'm in the public eye, or ear, as this medium is more aligned to, because it's an audio thing. You don't see me, so you can't. Moving on. Us folk in the media, we kind of need to tread around on eggshells when it comes to talking about contentious issues such as Australia Day. You know, just in case someone with too much time on their hands gets offended by something we say and jumps on one of those websites like change.org and sets up a petition to try and get us cancelled. Yes, eggshells. Lots of them. We don't care about eggshells here. We're just going to kick them out of the way because, as part of our top five countdown this week, we're going to do top five ways to wish someone happy Australia Day on Australia Day without getting cancelled. Because you kind of can't wish anyone a happy Australia Day anymore because, you know, to imply happy is, I don't know, something fundamentally racist or antagonistic, or someone's going to get offended when you use the word happy Australia Day in the sentence together. So, our top five this week, ways to wish someone a happy Australia Day without saying happy Australia Day so you don't get cancelled. Let's start with number five.
Five.
G'day, mate. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Nothing says Happy Australia Day more than the world's most famous yet incorrect Australian greeting. Can't get cancelled for parody.
Four.
Warm wishes on Australia Day to you. Oh, someone grab the Emily post and let's get all prim and proper. Can't get cancelled for prim and proper. It's just impolite.
Three.
Jovial land down under calendar day, mate. Technically, it's not Happy Australia Day, but I grabbed the thesaurus and found different words to say Happy Australia Day. Can't get cancelled for that one.
Two.
Beers are on me. Nothing says Happy Australia Day and Happy Australian like being shouted a free beer on Australia Day. Can't get cancelled for free beer.
One.
And the number one way of wishing someone a Happy Australia Day without saying Happy Australia Day so you don't get cancelled as part of our top five list today here on the Troy Murphy Show, Simply use the Australia Day flag emoji when you're talking online. Or put one of those temporary tattoos of the Australian flag on your hand. And so when you wave at someone, you wave Happy Australia Day. Can't get cancelled if you don't say anything. Oh, I was waving my temporary tattoo of the Australia Day flag that's on my hand to you all, but you probably can't see that because this is the medium of radio. You might notice that if you are on the 2SSR Facebook page, that with the Australia flag post that we posted today, there is just the emoji of the Australia flag, because Kale and I, Kale who does Friday Night Live on a Friday night here at 2SSR, he runs the social media. But I work with him behind the scenes to help him there. And we were having the discussion. It's like, what do we do? How do we do this without being cancelled or offending people? I'm opening the curtain so you see what happens behind the scenes. But we had that conversation, because you kind of have to have that conversation when you work in media. How do we do this so we don't get attacked? But we still celebrate it for those who want to be celebrated. Look, shits and giggles aside, I understand that Australia Day is a contentious day in history for the Aboriginal people, the Indigenous people in the past. And, well, we'll get into a little bit more of it about this during the show tonight, but we have to, as a country, decide to either move it or shut up about it. It's got to be a decade that this debate, this annual debate, keeps rolling out. It's like a annual sport. The change the day debate. Look, I'm all for changing the debate if it does right by those who are genuinely affected by the colonization of Australia. And I also have issue with people saying that they were genuinely affected by the colonization of Australia, mostly because as a society, as a country, we've benefited from the colonization of Australia, and every day we live and reap the benefits of colonization of the country. Including Indigenous people, mostly. There are, of course, caveats to that. So I don't understand why there's so much focus on the past, where we should focus on the now and the future and reflect the past. But if changing the day does right for those, like I said, are genuinely affected by the colonization of Australia, I'm all for it. I'm not one of those hard lines. It has to stay on this date. It has to be January 26. We can't change it. Although the majority of people in Australia year on year are for supporting it. Although I think the support is slowly declining. If we do move the date, I'm all for something like May 8, which is Mate Day. Great day to have another public holiday, because, you know, we don't have enough of them in this country. But if we do move the date, there has to be a dotted line that we as a country sign. A dotted line that when we sign says, there is no more moving, no more complaining. Let's just celebrate the great country we live in whilst we reflect, respect and learn from the past. The debate has to stop. It gets moved collectively and the debate stops, because we can't keep doing this each year. Look, I know it's great fodder and content for media organisations, and being in media, we love that sort of stuff. It gives us something we can talk about. And, you know, people jump on bandwagons and they love, you know, getting all riled up and doing that. You know, I guarantee you, 99% of the debate each year is not genuine. It's just people who enjoy getting riled up and having their say in an argument on a topic they really couldn't give a flying hoot about every other day of the year. Because, you know, it can't just be me. But do you too get the feeling that most of this anti-Australia Day noise is coming from anti-nationalists? You know, non-Indigenous people, but benefactors of colonization who just don't like the country. Anti-Australians, I like to call them, who are just piggybacking on native Australian suffering to push their agenda. It just can't be me. It can't be just me. 99%. Well, that's a pretty fast stretch. There's been no surveys, but a high majority of, I guarantee you, the high majority of the noise that comes each Australia Day is from people who are piggybacking on Indigenous Australian suffering to push their agenda as anti-nationalists. Anyway, I'm going to take my tinfoil hat off as we, on the show this week, speaking of tinfoil hats, we've all seen the videos on TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all of them with self-proclaimed sovereign citizens trying to use magic words and jargon and lingo to get away with breaking the law. It is crazy. We've seen a spate of videos online of people being pulled over by cops and trying to get away with not having a license or an unregistered car. Anyway, it's a crazy world, sovereign citizenship. That's why on the show this week, we're going to deep dive into that crazy world as we take a look at what's out there and then speak with senior lecturer at the UTS Faculty of Law, the UTS Faculty of Law, Harry Hobb, about whether or not there is any hope for these people in, you know, getting away with the law, and what does the actual law allow, if at all, for these people to get away with what they think they're going to get away with. We'll also chat to our very own Rhonda Frances from My Kind of Country about being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. We revisit The Voice, yes, again, I know, but there's lots of updates this week, so we've got to look at it. It's our responsibility here at the show to do that as we take a look at the crisis in the Northern Territory that may damage public support for the constitutional change, which is the introduction of the Voice to Parliament. I don't think Labor is doing themselves any good at the moment. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
FM 99.7.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. There appears to be no conspiracy theories about other planets being flat. And now for a check of the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, a partly cloudy day with a 30% chance of rain. The weekend, Saturday, mostly sunny, tops of 27 degrees. Sunday, a shower or two is expected, along with a warm day with top temperatures reaching 27 degrees. And Monday of next week, as we all go back to work, the rain will continue with a shower or two and top temperatures dropping to a maximum of 25 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under It's Just Too Crazy to Be True. So let's find out if it is. as we ask on the show today, what is a sovereign citizen? Why are we seeing a rise in people claiming to be sovereign citizens in Australia? And is it in any way the legal magic solution that they claim it to be? Yes, we will endeavour to answer those questions for you today. So what is a sovereign citizen? Well, collectively, a sovereign citizen and the sovereign citizenship movement is a loose grouping of activists and tax protesters and financial scheme promoters, along with conspiracy theorists, you know, the tinfoil hatters, who claim to be answerable only to their particular interpretations of the common law. And they believe that they are therefore not subject to any government statutes or proceedings unless they consent to them. So technically it's like, I don't agree with that law, I don't consent to it, so I don't have to obey by that law, is the fundamental understanding of what a sovereign citizen is and the way they think. Sovereign citizens may and have, and we've seen this in Australia, issue their own driver's license and vehicle tags, challenging the traffic laws, and in extreme cases, resort to violence to protect their believed rights. The rise of sovereign citizenship in Australia has gained much media attention and started confusing the living hell out of most of us about several weeks ago, after a almost 5-minute video of a self-proclaimed sovereign citizen went viral online. The video had a woman in a car, and she was pulled over by police in New South Wales for not having number plates. And the woman, who goes by the name of Chloe Fisher, produced a self-made ID, driver's license, claiming that she was not part of the state and that she was private, not under public license, and operates under her own moral law, L-O-R-E, not the law, L-A-W, of the government. Let's take a listen to some of that clip here.
So whereabouts are the plates that belong to the vehicle, the registration plates?
Where are
that
they?
Are actually attached to it, that it's obviously registered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whereabouts are the number plates that belong to the vehicle?
In the car.
In the car at the moment?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Why aren't they being displayed?
Well, I'm going sovereign.
Okay.
Pretty much. I'm slowly removing myself from being under your corporation, because you're actually a corporation, so you just collect money. You're like a business.
Well, I'm not, but sure.
Yeah, yeah, you work. You work for the company.
Yeah. Sure.
So anyway, I'm just transitioning into interactions with police and getting all my certificates and everything I need to pretty much state that you have no authority over me, because without the number plates and without the license, I'm not actually under your membership. So you can rightfully pull over anyone who has a registration plate in whatever state, because you're registered into a membership. I know you're probably not interested, but without that, you end up in court and it gets thrown out, because they say, oh, you've got loss of license. But if I don't run under a license, then there's nothing to lose.
Well, under the legislation, obviously, in New South Wales, you are driving a vehicle. Well, you're not currently driving right now, which is fine, but whilst you're driving a vehicle in New South Wales, it must be registered.
Yeah, they
and
say that in every state.
To drive it.
Okay? Only if
that's
I'm under your...
why I'm making these inquiries. Yes, yeah. You understand that?
Well, yep. I guess that's your job.
Bit of a long clip, I know, but it just goes to show the crazy of it all. But it doesn't stop there. There have been other incidents filmed across Australia. In fact, there's only one that went wild online yesterday, where sovereign citizens were driving around Canberra with a megaphone inviting everyone to a barbecue on Parliament Hill. Today, for Australia Day, around midday, I think they said. I don't know how that went. I don't really care, because I can imagine all of it is going to be is a bunch of people standing around just nodding and agreeing with a megaphone with no real agenda or direction of what they're going to protest or do. But another one, a couple of days ago in Coffs Harbour, you may have seen this online, police broke a woman's car window after she refused to comply with the officer's requests.
You guys don't even know what yous are on about.
I need your most senior on duty.
You don't have any jurisdiction on this land. Oh, look out.
You're under arrest.
You're a prick.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I would love to just get you one-on-one.
Turns out the woman had an outstanding arrest, or many outstanding arrest warrants, and she was arrested and charged with a string of offences. Want more? Let's do it.
I have been pulled over by the police. Can I please get your name?
Have you got your video? Acting Sergeant Gibson, or from Gold Coast Highway Patrol.
Okay. Now,
stop talking for a second. Listen to what I'm asking you. What's your full name?
I do not consent.
You're going to be arrested shortly for failing to provide your details.
Under what law?
Listen to me.
Please.
I'm speaking to you. Okay. I've asked you to state your full and correct name.
Can I please...
And I need to explain about your driver's license at the moment.
Can I have a say?
No, I've asked you to explain.
Why can I talk?
Listen! I've asked you to state your full and correct name.
I think you're being very aggressive.
If you fail to provide those details, I will have you arrested. Do you understand?
Why?
What is your full name?
What crime have I committed? What
State
crime?
Your full name. You are unlicensed at the moment.
At the moment,
excuse
ma'am, you're obstructing
me.
Police.
And
you're obstructing
excuse me.
I'm starting to see a pattern in the way they talk to the police, the sovereign citizens. Now let's dive deeper and find out how comprehensive and comprehensible their arguments are. Let's take a listen to a sovereign citizen, a self-proclaimed sovereign citizen, who goes by the name of Luke Simpson in one of his online talks that he posted to social media. This Luke Simpson guy, he was the passenger of the woman who had her car window smashed out that we played in the previous clip. The guy with the colourful language and the guy who wanted to resort to violence after the car window was smashed. Let's take a listen to how he frames their argument in a logical way.
But this operation on this continent is nothing but a cooperation. So a reconveying Helen's now detached herself from the straw men. She has copyrighted her names, and Helen is known now as Helen Mary, not Helen Mary Delaney in capital letters, right? And that's, I guess, just a little bit of that. So in terms of Helen being a reconveyed national and actually registered to an original nation of Terra Australis known as the Gumbangia Nation, she has signed, has live birth certificate. The crime, the incident that happened yesterday was... what they had done was invoked international law. And anyone that was participant in the abduction of Helen was in violation of the Geneva Convention, Article 31.
Yeah, that all made logical sense. First thing to address here, what is the Geneva Convention, Article 31, that he referenced? Well, in a nutshell, the Geneva Convention, Article 31, is all about refugees and the contracting states not being able to apply restrictions of movements of such refugees, and any restrictions or law shall not be applied on a refugee until their status in the country is regularized or they obtain admission into another country. I spent hours trying to research this, and that's what I've come up with, and I can't make a connection between the Geneva Convention Article 31 and sovereign citizenship. We do have an expert coming on the show real soon, and I'm going to ask him to clarify that for me. Secondly, where do they get all this jargon that we keep hearing over and over again? You know, the corporation, the straw men, and all the gobbledygook jargon that they believe that they can sprout to police officers and in courts of law in front of a judge after they've been arrested, that they think will get them off the crimes and charges they have been convicted of. Well, it turns out that in my research, it's a scam. Yep, there are websites out there selling a bunch of guidebooks and how-to manuals, and they run seminars on becoming a sovereign citizen with wild claims that perpetuate false ideas and hopes that you can get away with being a sovereign citizen if you follow their step-by-step instructions. Now, these guides that people can in some cases spend hundreds of dollars on also claim that they have worked in the past for many cases. But has it worked? Has it worked? And has it worked, more importantly, here in Australia? Well, joining us on the show to talk sovereign citizenship and the legality of it all is Senior Lecturer at the UTS Facility of Law, Harry Hobbs. Harry, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. First up, what is your take on the rise of sovereign citizenship in Australia?
Yeah, thanks for having me here. There's been a number of people, I guess, who claim that they don't need to follow the law. They don't consent to it. They never agreed to the law that was passed by Parliament. And they really don't want to have anything to do with the law that when it applies to them. Not everyone who feels this way is a sovereign citizen, but a growing group of people, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic, have been attracted to this ideology. So a lot of it seems to be related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is a case where people suddenly, perhaps some people who really don't feel the effects of the law, felt for the first time those effects, you know, requiring to wear masks, unable to leave your home or your local council area. And they push back against that imposition by saying, well, I never agreed to this, and why should I have to follow this law? And so really that's sort of the rise of people who, I think COVID there is really the reason for a lot of people getting attracted to this movement in the first place.
I can understand the rise against the COVID mandates that were essentially forced upon a lot of people, and a lot of people not being very happy with that. But we've seen a rise in the cases of say drivers being pulled over. These are the videos that are surfacing online. The drivers who don't want to give their details or have defect cars, claiming sovereign citizenship as a way to try and avoid dealing with the police or getting in trouble with the law. Is there any way for people legally to claim sovereign citizenship to get away with breaking the law in the country, or is it just a nonsensical thing?
It's a nonsensical thing. There's no way that you can avoid the ordinary operation of the laws of the land by saying you don't consent to it or that it doesn't apply to you because you're a sovereign citizen. All people who reside within the territory of Australia have to follow Australian law. That's whether you're an Australian citizen or not. You know, even if there was such a thing as a sovereign citizen, which again, legally there is not, you would still have to abide by Australian law. What happened, I guess, through COVID was that people got attracted to this ideology. Maybe they started to think, well, is there a way that I can avoid having to wear masks? And often the way these work is because there's no sort of centralized repository or hierarchical system. Most people watch YouTube videos or Facebook videos and see people trying to do certain things. And often they're edited in such a way that it looks like they might work. And so someone who is initially attracted to this because of COVID or some other reason sort of goes down a rabbit hole and starts to become more and more enamored with this idea. They may, as you said, not have a driver's license. They may not register their vehicle. They might stop paying their mortgage, et cetera, in a way just to try and avoid having to follow the laws of the land. Again, it never works. It has never worked, and it won't work for you. What it will do is get you into more trouble.
Yeah. You mentioned these YouTube videos and these seminars that are popping up everywhere. One of the repeated things we keep seeing is people reference the Geneva Convention Article 31. With Article 31, I've looked at it. I don't understand law. That's why you're here on the show. Article 31 references refugees. You've got experience with international law. How does this work? Can you explain it to a layperson like myself? How does it work, and how does it apply to sovereign citizenship? And what's the connection they're trying to make there?
Look, I do have experience in international law and constitutional law in Australia, but I can tell you that I don't understand the link. There is no link. A lot of what people do is they sort of might be non-legally trained, but they might find legal instruments. They could be foundational texts such as the Magna Carta or the Geneva Conventions.
Yeah.
And they read the text in a certain way that has no bearing on how it actually applies in Australia. So the way international law works in Australia, like the Geneva Conventions, like the Magna Carta, these sorts of things, they don't apply in Australia unless the Australian Parliament says they apply. So they don't apply. There is no reason for you to quote Geneva Conventions, the Magna Carta, even the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, if you're being stopped by the police officer. That has no bearing in Australia. It doesn't affect Australian law at all. So I can't explain how they think it might work, except that it's just a literal interpretation of what the text appears to say. But again, you'd have to go to law school to understand what it actually means in practice. And this is, I guess, one of the challenges or potential reasons for the rise of sovereign citizens or people who are applying these things we call pseudo-law or pseudo-legal theories, is that there isn't a great understanding of what law actually is or how law applies in Australia. There's a poor legal knowledge amongst the community, and that's fair enough, right? It's hard. You've got to train. It's difficult. It's complex. But it's some people who, feel upset about something, they feel frustrated by something, and they find an international legal instrument that might be pointed to them by a YouTube video or some guru in one of these seminars, and it doesn't mean anything that the person is telling them it means. It's a lie. People who are doing this are really trying to scam you out of money. So that's what their game is. They're trying to scam you out of money, and you're the fool who ends up getting losing your money to the seminar person, but also getting in more trouble by the police.
I'm so glad. Thank you for that. I'm so glad you said that there is absolutely no connection, because I can't tell you how many hours I spent reading the Geneva Convention article and trying to make some sort of connection. Here I was thinking that I'm an idiot, but I'm not the idiot.
And can I say, this is another really important point, though, because if someone comes up to you and is very sure of themselves and they say the Geneva Convention Article 31 says I have the right to do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
If you don't know the law, you might think that they're telling the truth or that they're correct, because how do you know that they're not, right? It might sound ludicrous, but if they're really persistent and really adamant and they seem to be quoting legal text to you, it's natural that you'll think, okay, well, I guess they're telling the truth, and so I'll let them do what they want to do, or I'll just step back. But it's important to know that, what they're saying is legally incorrect. They do have to wear a mask if that's the regulation at that time, or they do have to have a driver's license, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Tough question. How is this solved or fixed? Or is this just something new that we're going to have to live with, people claiming sovereign citizenship and wonderful videos uploaded to TikTok and YouTube?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think a lot of it has to do with legal education and letting people understand that this is not, there's no get out of jail free card, unfortunately, when it comes to the law. You have to follow whatever Parliament has passed and whatever the government has enacted. So there is no get out of jail free card. I think it also relates to a lot of people feeling unease or anxious or an anxiety, I guess, about their position in society, whether that might be because of COVID-19, whether that could be because rising inflation might mean that they feel that they might not be able to repay their mortgage. There are a lot of people who feel pressure and stressed about these causes that they can't control, and they latch onto something that seems to be certain or seems to have some degree of certainty. And someone telling you that if you say these magic words, you'll get out of any dispute with the police, or you won't have to pay for certain things. Some people get initially attracted to that, and if they look at the TikTok videos or Facebook videos, the way they're edited, it often seems that it works, and so it is just this rabbit hole that people go down. So how do you solve it? It's very hard, but it's a larger social problem. But it probably relies on people who, if you do have family or friends who you see are going down that rabbit hole, trying to pull them up a little bit, and trying to explain how this actually doesn't work for them, and it'll make things worse.
Do like what we've done. Talk to a person who knows, a lawyer. Harry Hobbs, senior lecturer at the UTS Facility of Law, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
So to sum up, let's go back to the question we asked at the beginning of this segment. What is a sovereign citizen? Why are we seeing a rise in people claiming to be sovereign citizens in Australia? And is this in any way the legal magic solution it's claimed to be? Well, in a nutshell,
It's all a crock. Sovereign citizens don't believe the law applies to them. They get to pick and choose which ones they like. And when they are required to go to court after breaking the law of the country, they try to argue. But so far, it has not worked, with no case of sovereign citizenship winning in Australia thus far. And why are we seeing a rise of this? Well, there's two sides to this. Sadly, some genuine people who are disenfranchised with the rule of law in this country are being convinced that sovereign citizenship is a valid alternative. And on the other side, we have lawbreakers trying to use this as a means to get away with crime. I feel sorry for one, and I laugh at the other. Have we seen the end to this? Probably not for the foreseeable future. But we have learned that the idea of being a sovereign citizen and sovereign citizenship as a whole is a waste of time and money, and it doesn't work. It's not legal, and whatever crime people think they can get away with, they can't. Let's just hope that this mad craze doesn't get too far out of hand. But at least, you know, we all know that there's a giant crock pot of crazy out there. And if you see anything coming your way that is related to sovereign citizenship, whether it be friends or family or work colleagues or whatever, well, now we're all better informed on what it's all about. It's all a waste of time. But let's just enjoy the videos as they keep being pumped out by these people. It's a work of fiction.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney, and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire local news.
Today in Sutherland Shire local news, 2SSR's very own Queen of Country, Rhonda Francis, who hosts My Kind of Country every Thursday morning from 9 a.m, has been inducted into the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Hall of Fame at the Tamworth Country Music Festival People's Choice Awards. I spoke with Rhonda earlier about this glorious achievement.
The award was given out by People's Choice, and People's Choice have been going for 24 years. And it was instigated by Bob Kirshner, who decided that he'd like the listeners or the fans of mostly independent artists have a vote on whom they would like to see have an award, rather than Golden Guitar is mainly by a board or the peers. So that's how they get voted in. It's not by people like you and I who might like their music. And People's Choice, that's how it differs between Golden Guitars. So he instigated this award, as I said, 24 years ago. Next year was a big 25 year. And this last year, they made a new award, which was to be in the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And Alan Gilmore won it last year, and I've taken it out this year, so it's only the second award. And, of course, I'm excited, over the moon, completely and utterly surprised, because I was sitting in the front row of the Tamworth Town Hall because I actually had to do a presentation to one of the previous award holders who won the duo. And then I'm sitting there at the end of it, and Bob Kirshner goes, "Now," he said, "for the most important award of the afternoon, the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Award." And I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder who that could be. And next minute, he sang out my name. So I was very excited. So, of course, I had to go up and accept it and do a little bit of a speech and say how happy I was, how honoured I was, what a complete surprise it was, how much I love country, how much I love community radio, because it allows us to play what we want to play and also promote Australian country music, which doesn't get promoted on anything but community radio, for that matter.
And in other local news, Surf Life Saving New South Wales, alongside the Emergency Services Minister, Steph Cook, have urged people to be careful in the water over the Australia Day long weekend break. Across New South Wales, 12 people have died in the water this summer, while 48 people died nationally. Land value for residential properties across the Sutherland Shire have risen by 13.2% in the past year, with area zones of land with special environmental or scenic values seeing the strongest growth. Commercial land values rose 16.4%, with 18.4% for industrial land. A Genali barbershop has found itself under police investigation after allegedly refusing entry to a very low vision woman and her son because of her guide dog. Speaking to 7 News, Marlena Osborne said that she was deeply shocked, saddened and insulted by the incident. In response, the barbershop employees say they refused her entry because employees were scared of the dog, as one of the staff had been bitten by a dog only weeks before. Under the Companion Animals Act in New South Wales, it is unlawful to refuse access to people with guide dogs. The woman is said to have reported the incident to police, who are investigating the matter. And finally, in Sutherland Shire local news, get your fruit salad ready. The Wiggles are coming to the Sutherland Pavilion on March 12. Join the whole cast as they sing their new songs along with their classic songs too. Tickets are available through Ticketek. That's what's happening in the Sutherland Shire for local news.
Hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We hope so. Open your with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
Thanks for tuning in. It is an absolute pleasure to have your company here on the Troy Murphy Show this week. Now, my friends, I know I harp on about this every week, but I just feel as though it's a story that's not being covered properly enough by mainstream media. Well, at least not in a way that is in depth enough for it to be talked about in a holistic way, as opposed to the very short sound bites that commercial stations and commercial TV are allowed to. They only get to talk about things really quickly before they have to move on. Here on Community Radio, we get to deep dive into topics of concern like this in great detail. And that topic is, well, it's based on, well, it's the voice to Parliament, the Indigenous voice to Parliament, and what I feel as though is the lack of faith that Australians have with the federal government when it comes to the implementation of the upcoming vote on the Indigenous voice to Parliament. This is something that I have covered ad nauseam here on the show over the past few weeks. So I won't go back and bring up all that I've spoken about in the past, but only mention in summary that, well, I want to say yes to some sort of voice to Parliament, or a better heard voice to Parliament, whether that be constitutional change or something that is just legislated into Parliament, probably the latter more than anything else. But as it stands right now, will I vote yes in the upcoming referendum to put a voice to Parliament in the Constitution? No. No, I won't. Let me explain. This is because Well, the federal government have failed thus far to give enough information for what the voice will entail and how it would work. We don't know what we're voting for. Will this voice be tokenistic? Will it do well for the Australian people? Or will, and this is what I believe it will be, just a checkbox, a PR, something we did stunt for the current federal government to make themselves feel good in order to say that they did something rather than actually doing something so they can use that at the next election. And when history looks back on this government and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, he can be, you know, the quick soundbite can be, yes, he implemented a constitutional change for a voice to Parliament without great detail of how it actually worked. This, for me, is all a PR stunt, because in the past week, the federal government have proven that they are not listening to the Indigenous voices of Australia, in particular those voices in Alice Springs and rural parts of Australia or in the Northern Territory. Instead, they're just ticking boxes, because point in case, we have seen during the week the rise in crime and violence in the Alice, with the mayor of the Alice calling on federal help, and even a local Labor member calling for federal help too. Did they get help this week? Well, sort of. Let me dive into this further. In the past week, we have seen the Alice Springs mayor, Matt Patterson, say that there are not enough police to respond to crime, and practically beg, almost in tears, on national TV and radio for more support from the federal government. The mayor called for the army and the federal police to intervene, something that the federal government, has not backed. We've also seen Northern Territory Labor MP for Lingern Ari, Marion Skimdraw, who is an Aboriginal woman, call for urgent action to deal with the rising crime in Alice Springs to stop youths from roaming the streets of the Northern Territory town. Further to that, she has expressed concern about the timing of the voice to Parliament, saying that the referendum is not the focus of those who live in the Northern Territory at the moment. And I quote, "I think the voice couldn't be further from people's view up here, because people are under siege in their own home." Now, whilst Scrimgeour supports the voice to Parliament, if you read between the lines, I don't think she does, because she has said that conversation cannot happen whilst on the voice, whilst the issue of crime in the Alice Springs is not adequately addressed. Now, you have to remember that it is Labor Party policy that all members subscribe to the governing views of the party. So what the party do, unlike other political parties, is at their conference that they have every year or whatever it is, they agree as a group on the party's position on certain topics. So as for the voice, the party's position is to support it. Now, if you are a Labor member and you don't support it, you still have to support it, because that's party policy. Crazy way to run a political party, because it doesn't allow free voice, and it's a bit, well, controlling. Dictatorship. Is that the right word? I think so. Anyway, when the crime wave in the Northern Territory hit the national news, it took days for Anthony Albanese to confirm that he would go to the affected area, drawing on comparison to Anthony Albanese's heavy criticism of the former Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who he said was delayed in visiting disaster-stricken areas across Australia during floods and fires. And, you know, there was the whole holiday in Hawaii and a whole heap of other issues. You'll remember Albo used all of this as a mute point during the election campaign, claiming that ScoMo always goes missing when Australia really needs him.
But Scott Morrison always goes missing when Australia really needs him.
Don't you just hate it when your own words come back to bite you in the butt? But to his credit, Albo did head to the Northern Territory for a visit, even if he did spend more time in the plane flying there and flying back to Canberra than he did on the ground talking to locals. And he had a meeting with the Territory Chief Minister Natasha Files and other community leaders, where Mr. Albanese jointly announced the introduction of new alcohol restrictions, or technically it's reintroduction, because on top of all that, there's been a lot of finger pointing and blaming going on, with the Prime Minister blaming the former Liberal federal government for lapsing legislation on alcohol bans that only last year were replaced with opt-in mandates in many towns and camps in the territory. That happened in late June or July. So what was this legislation that lapsed? Well, it was first introduced in 2007 by the Howard government. However, it was at the time criticised in 2010 by the United Nations. Now, in 2012, the Stronger Futures Laws were introduced by the Gillard government with a sunset clause on many of these measures, which means that they could be opt-in as opposed to forced. So they lapsed in the middle of last year. Since then, there has been a marked rise in crime and increased calls from help from the Northern Territory. Now, Northern Territory police statistics show that property offences in the Alice Springs have skyrocketed by 60% in the last 12 months. Assaults were up by 38% and domestic violence has increased by 48% in 12 months. That's huge. Of which the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, has said that the Northern Territory government responded too slowly to the spike in crime in the Alice. She's argued that the voice to Parliament would have prevented a problem escalating to this crisis. Worse, she pointed the finger at the Northern Territory government to blame. And in an interview with the ABC on the ABC radio, she said that if the voice to Parliament had been established previously, she didn't think that they would be where they are, because we, the Labor government, would have been getting practical advice from people representative of the community in relation to these social issues. Highlight that. Let's come back to that, because, and I'll requote it, because we would have been getting practical advice from people representative of the community in relation to these social issues. Bookmark that, because I want to come back to that later. Like I said, there's been a lot of finger pointing, and on all sides of politics, left, right, state, federal, everyone is to blame for what is going on in the Northern Territory. Also, the people there as well, they've got to take on some blame as well. But sadly, thus far, not a lot of resolution is taking place. But for the current federal government to finger point and blame everyone else is a bit rich, as Section 122 of the Constitution allows the federal parliament to override territory law at any time. So any time since those laws lapsed in July of last year, the federal government could have stepped in and reintroduced them. So why didn't they? Well, the election, let's look at this. The election was in May of 2022. The Stronger Futures Laws lapsed at the end of June 2022. So under the current federal government's watch, surely someone in the Northern Territory approached the federal government to warn them about this. And not just this, surely the Labor government's removal of the cashless welfare card scheme that was introduced into remote communities in the Northern Territory was not a red flag, as local Aboriginal groups spoke out warning the government that the removal of the scheme would lead to a rise in alcohol sales and crime. Surely the warnings were there. Well, they were. The requests were there. The voice of the Aboriginal people were not listened to by the federal government, and that is why the Northern Territory is in the situation it is today. Indigenous leaders warned the federal government about violence in the Alice Springs barely a week after Prime Minister Anthony Albanese installed his full ministry into the offices after last year's election. Now, almost, 7 months on, the Prime Minister is yet to decide what to do. His response this week, when asked for help, well, he asked for a report to be submitted by February 1 on new rules on alcohol sales. On top of that, the Central Australian Aboriginal Congress saw the problem coming and told Indigenous Australians Minister Linda Burney about the violence and the rise in violence in a letter on June 9 last year. So after the election and before the Stronger Futures laws lapsed at the end of that month, the Congress wanted the federal government to extend alcohol bans that had been placed for a decade for another 2 years. What it got instead was a Senate inquiry that is, well, allegedly still looking into the problem. I have no love for the opposition on this either. Current Liberal leader Peter Dutton, who is, we see in the media every day talking about, the threats of violence in the Alice Spring. Well, he was a member of the federal cabinet when the previous government accepted the end of the alcohol bans. I'm sure he got the warnings too. And as for the cashless welfare cards that were set up to quarantine up to 80% of a welfare's recipient income, which would not allow those welfare recipients to withdraw cash or to spend their welfare money on gambling or alcohol, well, that was dumped late last year under the current federal government because, according to Indigenous Australians Minister Linda Burney, she said, and I quote, it diminishes self-worth. Of course, no one is denying that the cashless welfare cards are in some way inhumane. But when you have locals on the ground in the Northern Territory speaking out in favour of it, citing lived experience, surely that is enough of a voice to be listened to when they go to the federal government and give suggestion. The only saving grace for the Northern Territory at the moment, maybe it's a saving grace, who knows, is that on Tuesday, Mr. Anthony Albanese announced that the NT government would introduce immediate temporary restrictions on alcohol sales as a circuit breaker. I think it involves something like on certain days you can't sell alcohol and alcohol can only be sold in certain amounts and between certain hours, Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. But will this fix the problem? No. No, it won't. No, it won't. People will just find a way around the restrictions. But back to The Voice, which is why we're talking about this today here on the show. This point in case, this evidence that I've gone through is why we need more information on The Voice to Parliament, because clearly the Labor federal government is not listening to Indigenous voices when they come to the government with what they say is best for Aboriginal people in remote communities. How is a voice to Parliament that will be enshrined in the Constitution going to be a band-aid fix to this falling on deaf ear problem that the federal government has? They have proven that they do not listen. How or why will they listen to a voice of Parliament if or when it's enshrined in the Constitution? Well, that's why we need more details on this, and that's why we need a call on the government to give us details so we know. Do better, Anthony Albanese. There is no wonder why this week you've seen a 5% drop in your popularity in the polls, because you're not doing the things you said you would do in the lead up to last year's federal election. Do better. Rant over.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's
that's it. The Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of The Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting and raving from tonight's extravaganza, listen back on demand by clicking The Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the 2SR.com.au website. Coming up next, the encore broadcast of The Combo. Until next week, bye for now.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.